two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Okey-dokey, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell. Alex Keery is on the other end of the line. During the break, listening to where are they going to, you know, disperse all of these vaccinations with the COVID virus? And it got me thinking about what is a positive thing that's happened from all of this? And it happened today.
Oh, what is it?
We had NFL football on a Wednesday.
That's right.
Not only on a Wednesday, but like an afternoon.
It wasn't even afternoon. It was like midday. Like, I think about it on the East Coast when this game kicked off, it was like noon.
Yeah.
And you're like, ugh, what is going on here? This is like.
It was NFL football on a Wednesday.
And it's an undefeated Steelers team taking on like their worst rivals, like the biggest rivals in their division. And it ended up being kind of a garbage football game.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Because we got football
That's
on a Wednesday.
True.
And so let's look at the silver lining. Let's be positive.
I like Scott. I like it. The rumors, of course, have been swirling in the last few hours about BYU and the possibility of landing a game this weekend. After last night's show, we just kind of – I guess I sort of landed thinking it was just not going to be enough time this week for anything to happen. Not only was that that squash this afternoon when rumors started popping up about BYU possibly moving in and taking Liberty's spot if they have too few players ready to play for this Saturday against Coastal Carolina, an undefeated Coastal Carolina, number 18 team in the college football playoff rankings right now. Dave McCann, nice enough to walk over from TV and sort of help us through all this. Dave, what on earth is happening in the world of BYU football these days?
It is such a it's just this kind of a year. And they've been working on trying to find a game and working on trying to find a game and kind of waiting in the wings of this and that. And we've said many times on this program, at least that I believe, that COVID is going to write the ending of this season. We're just not sure how. And if this game comes to fruition, it'll be because of the virus at Liberty that would keep them from playing at Coastal Carolina on Saturday. They're going to have a report out in the morning as to their status. And so far, it's all business from Liberty's side and Coastal's side. The game hasn't been
canceled.
Then
how did it come up? Like, it was – there were, I mean, obviously, we want to confirm stuff before it happens, but there were a lot of people who were sure that this BYU-Coastal Carolina conversation was already happening way before we had to hear again for like the third time from Liberty and Coastal Carolina. No, we're playing this football game until otherwise.
A lot of people want this game to happen. It jumped on the national Twitter feeds and all of that stuff. I know the team practiced tonight for Coastal. I know they're hoping that it comes to about – I haven't talked to Tom, but I have to believe, and we'll see how this goes, but I have to believe there's some conviction on the BYU side before telling the players that here's the possibility and let's move that direction. It can't have been a whim or, well, this might not work out, but let's go down and get everyone's hopes up anyway. And so I don't know the answer to that. It just seems like you wouldn't walk down to address the team and do that if you didn't believe that this is this is the direction it's going.
The first two games of the season for Utah, they knew they were on like razor thin edges of playing each week.
Yeah. Right.
So this testing is going on, and so they're, it's not like, yeah, we, you know, who knows, we, you know, if for some odd reason they're like, look, we're a player or two away, and it's not looking that favorable. BYU, are you there? You know, we want to play a game. We want.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm sure that they probably reached out because they've had major issues and they're probably really close.
And Coastal doesn't want to lose. ESPN Game Day is going to be there
right.
on Saturday. They don't want to lose that opportunity. And this is a game
and,
that
and ESPN
would
Game
love.
Day would love. Yes, absolutely.
You know, and for BYU, if it comes to pass, it's the biggest game out there that they could get. It's a team ranked in the top 20 in the AP and in the college football playoff rankings that's not nailed down
right.
to a league that won't do it. There aren't any other games out there of this magnitude. Now, there are cancellations all over the place. Boise State, UNLV canceled tonight.
Right.
There's going to be a bunch
yeah,
more.
Yeah, but Jerry beat Boise State.
Yeah, we do a rematch.
That's old news.
No, I'd want to play UNLV. That'd be so
down
fun.
At the Raider Stadium.
Yeah.
But this is going to be how it's going to go all month. And so that's, you know, it you can't sit on a secret like this and somebody didn't, and then it jumped around and
was it you, Dave?
No, it wasn't me. Still isn't. We're waiting for BYU to announce it. People are asking me all the time, and I said, it's just a wait and see. So we have to wait and see, but everyone wants it to,
right.
you know, on BYU's end, they're just hoping this comes.
So
it,
that's
here's
kind of a terrible thing though.
It is awful to live by that.
We hope that
yeah.
someone gets sick so we can play this game. I mean, that's kind of – I mean, it's –
Well, when you put
it
that way,
it is,
it's but... not very good. But it's hey, we need an opportunity, and an opportunity could evolve if this happens over here. Now, those two teams could play in 2 weeks, so it's not – no one's wishing death on anybody. They're just saying, hey, BYU needs a football game, and there
yeah.
might be a number 18 team that needs a football game, and so – here we are.
So best case scenario for BYU, if it does happen and ESPN Game Day says we want to keep that game there, we've already got our stuff there or whatever, I'm thinking like logistically, I want to know how this works, because getting the team out there on a charter flight, no big deal. But then there's the thing about driving the full BYU semi out there with, you know, 36 hours of lead time, let's say starting tomorrow. I guess those guys, they drive in shifts anyway, and they can get from one place to the next, but this is not ideal in the sense, but it's nothing's been ideal about this year.
No.
What do you prove to the College Football Playoff Committee by taking this game, and what changes Tuesday if BYU gets this game and then they get a win there let me read it here, Conway, South Carolina?
Let me tell you, we've already defined this group as the 13 most intelligent people on the planet, so there's nothing to convince them of anything that they haven't already decided. But what it does do is it keeps BYU in the mix. It keeps them on the highlights. It keeps them on ESPN. It keeps Zach Wilson throwing footballs and in the Heisman conversation. There is no lose here for BYU to add a game, but they have to win that game. And Coastal has been pretty good, so they got to go back there to their place and win that game, and they've got to earn their keep and then put a little more pressure on the committee. But like we talked about the other night, there are three or four teams ahead of BYU that are going to lose because they're playing each other.
Right.
And BYU just needs to keep winning and just
well,
get two
to
more
win.
Spots. Get, yeah, they got to get games.
Well, here's why this
get
is
two more spots and get in the New Year's Six.
I was going to say, too, the other reason, Scott, this is important, too, is that when this game, if they're able to get this game, you have no idea what's going to happen next week with that with the already scheduled San Diego State game.
No.
So if you have that game in front of you, you go, look, maybe that's the 10th game that they get. And if that's yeah. the one you end up getting as your last game, is that one that's right in front of you, then there you go.
And they're still trying to get a game for the 19th.
And But to answer your question about the College Football Playoff Committee, I'm not convinced they've even watched BYU play.
No.
In fact, when these playoffs came out, these rankings – you know, BYU was kind of on the tail end of not really playing anyone important at that time. And I think this gives the playoff committee a chance to really look at BYU and get a better assessment. Because I guarantee you, the people on the committee haven't looked. There's no one there yeah. that has a voice for BYU, and they don't really care. They care about their conference.
If this game happens, and we'll know in the morning, and BYU wins, they'll jump past Indiana, who's going to lose to Wisconsin, and a chance to get past my Iowa State, who's going to lose to West Virginia. Cincinnati's got to play Tulsa twice. They've just got to get up two spots.
I love it.
The Fiesta Bowl is two spots away to an optimist.
With 3 weeks left in the quote-unquote season. All right, Dave McCann, thank you for joining us and for jumping in here on short notice.
Hey, how about taking down St. John's today? What a comeback win.
A win for the Cougs, yeah, after the bad loss against USC yesterday. So BYU basketball, 4-1 now.
Hey, Scott, happy holidays.
Same to you, Dave. I'm going to change your name. Instead of Dave McCann, it's Dave I Can.
Yes.
Mr. Optimist.
Yes, Mr. Optimist. We're going to take the break. We'll come back. More to go right here after news, traffic, and weather. We got those Utes to talk about. I've got some Kyle Whittingham sound you don't want to miss. Scott will interpret it for us. Stay right here with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.